Picture this, a 14th century manor house surrounded by a medieval moat, set against a backdrop of beautifully green grounds, a tranquil oasis of 1,200 years of history. But this isn't some far-flung corner of the British countryside. This is Harrow. My name's Emma Jones, and you're listening to the Headstone Manor Park podcast, all about the Headstone Manor Restoration Project, which is happening in Harrow right now. As part of plans to build a better Harrow and the ongoing restoration of Headstone Manor, Harrow Council submitted an application to the Heritage Lottery's Parks for People Fund last year. They received a grant of nearly £230,000 for Headstone Manor Recreation Ground, which makes the development plan phase possible. The development plan phase will mean major landscape improvements to the park, dealing with silt and contaminated water in the moat, new footpaths, volunteering, signage, playground, a new wetland, and allowing the river to flow through a section of the Yedding Brook. If successful, the development plan phase will receive £1.126 million for the construction phase. Later on, we'll be hearing from some of the volunteers currently working on the project and letting you know how you can get involved. But first, a little bit of history. The Headstone Manor House dates back to 1310 and was the property of the Archbishop of Canterbury until 1546. The grounds were a working farm for over 400 years, but were eventually sold off in the 19th and 20th century for development. In 1968, when the government was reorganised, the grounds became the responsibility of London Borough of Harrow. As well as the manor house, the grounds are now home to two barns, a museum, a granary, and the local football and cricket clubs. Even though restoration is still underway, the new Moat Cafe and Visitor Centre is open to the public. So if you fancy a cup of tea and getting your hands on some gorgeous handcrafted gifts, come down and check it out. When you visit the site and have a walk around, you actually feel a sense of pride about the local history and why it's so important to preserve it. I actually grew up in Harrow and I spent a lot of time at the park, so I was keen to find out more about the place where Henry VIII was once Lord of the Manor. So I went down to have a look around. One of the volunteers that's been helping out is Peter, and I'm actually just going to go and catch up with him and have a chat to him about what he's been doing. Hi Peter, you look like you're getting your hands quite grubby.
Yes.
What have you been doing here?
Well, this morning been doing mainly pulling up nettles, which is the ones that are along the edge of the stream, so that other things can be planted next year, and also just kind of tidy it up. But also where the real dirt comes in is just trying to pull the rubbish out of the stream. There's all sorts that ends up in there besides all the twigs and whatever that naturally get there.
Okay, so a lot of work to kind of make it clean and get all the rubbish out and make it look nice.
I think it's probably a bit like a home. You don't realise until you have to do it how much the work there is to keep it going. Yes.
You don't realise how much accumulates.
Yes. Yes.
Are you local then, Peter? Do you live
very
in Harrow?
Much so, yes. Yes, yes.
So where are you from?
Well, just a 10-minute walk away.
Oh, lovely, yeah. Lovely. So how long have you lived in Harrow for?
18 years.
Oh, a long time then, yes. A long time. Is that what drove you to get involved with volunteering?
Yes, it's one of those things. I have more time, I want to see the place look as decent as it can, and so, yeah.
A great way to use your free time. How often are you down here helping out?
Doing this is twice a week. I've been involved recently with the surveys. We've been taking surveys to see how many people are coming to the park what they're doing, what purposes they're using it for. We'll see whether I do anything more, but yeah. Pleased to see things are being done and then get a bit of involvement.
So I know you said you find a lot of strange things in this kind of little stream we've got along here.
Yeah.
What is the strangest thing you found in there?
Well, nothing. I don't think there's anything that's worth putting in the record books, but there's bottles, bricks. In fact, a lot of
bricks.
Bottles. Yes, old bricks. I think just about anything that's likely to end up in a litter bin has probably ended up here.
Except for
plus
bricks.
Plus bits of carpet, fencing that's... We came back this morning to find fencing that we'd taken away last week, 2 weeks ago, had been dumped back in the stream. So we had
That's just very counterproductive, isn't it?
It is.
That's not what happened. You were aiming to do.
No.
I'm a little bit taken back by the bricks. I don't know how... Where do they come from? How does someone put them in there? I have a lot of questions about the bricks.
My name is Emma Jones, and this is a podcast all about the Headstone Manor Restoration Project. Restoring Headstone Manor isn't just about bricks and mortar. Nature also plays a huge part, and getting the balance just right is very delicate work. The Riverfly Partnership is a network of organisations that work together to understand the riverfly population. Monitoring these tiny creatures can actually tell us a lot about the environment around us. Here's volunteer John Dobson on how kick sampling works and what he looks out for.
Kick sampling is a way of measuring the quality of the water by looking at the invertebrates. Such as freshwater shrimps, mayflies, caddisflies, etc., which live in the water. Various invertebrates have different sensitivities to pollution, so by the species and by their numbers, we can take a measure of what the water quality is. For the past several years, there have been up to a dozen samples all the way down the River Crane, of which this is a tributary. We have comprehensive monitoring of the River Crane corridor for its entire length. We're looking for things like the numbers of freshwater shrimps, the numbers of mayfly larvae, and the numbers of caddisfly larvae, etc., all of which have their own story to tell about the way that the pollution is happening in the water. It's part of wider environmental improvements of Headstone Manor, but of course this has been going on independently for some years. The environmental improvements will be in terms of the water quality and thus the amenity quality and the attractiveness of the stream.
Want to know how you can volunteer to help restore an amazing part of your history? Stay tuned.
The first time I came to this park was actually, we came to see the museum. Because I think for a long time, I didn't even know there was a museum here. Obviously, when you're a kid, that's a great thing to do because it's local. And I came here for the museum a couple of times and came to the park as well. But it looks very different now to how it used to. It's definitely been cleaned up a lot and it's a really nice park. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the end result is like. Because it already looks so nice compared to when I was younger. How it used to look. What I love here as well is that they've turned the barn into a wedding venue. I think that's such a good use of the barn. It looks so nice as well, the way it's all been renovated. I think it'd be such a nice place to have a wedding, especially if you grew up here or you're from London. It's such a good location. It's really hidden away and it's still easy to get to, and it looks really pretty as well.
Conserving nature is all about finding practical solutions, and the Crane Valley Partnership does just that. At a recent lecture, development manager Ilse Stale talked about the impact of humans on their immediate environment, and we caught up with her afterwards to find out more.
The Crane Valley Partnership is sort of a part of a number of other partnerships groups across the country. It's about just over 100 of them all across the country, England and Wales, and they basically are groups of both government, private businesses, NGOs and friends groups that are concerned and passionate about the rivers within their catchment area. Working with volunteers can be very satisfying, but you also have to show them that what they're doing makes a difference. And if they get the impression that they're just doing it because they don't want to pay somebody else to actually do the job, then you'll start to lose them. So the Citizen Crane Project, for instance, is we've got volunteers in 12 sites across the catchment, and each one of those sites have 3 or 4 or 5 people who are responsible for that site. And they go every month, weather dependent, and go and do their sampling, and they can sort of see on their site how things go up and down. But they don't, if they don't know what happens to that information, then what's going to be the point of them going every third weekend of every month to go and do their sampling? So what we do with that is we try and keep constantly in contact with them. We have a sort of a meeting every year at the London Zoological Society, at the zoo, because they're one of the project partners and one of the project managers of the project. And people can come and see, this is what your information has actually allowed us to do.
We'll hear a bit more from some of the volunteers later on. Before that, let's find out how it all comes together. Desiree Mahoney works for Harrow Council and is the volunteer coordinator for the Regeneration Project. Desiree does an amazing job at keeping the volunteers organised and motivated. She wants more local residents to know just how rewarding the experience can be.
From what I've seen this morning, it looks like you're doing a very good job. There's a lot of people down here getting their hands dirty, giving up their Saturday to help out. You've got a really good team.
It's not a simple task, recruiting volunteers. Where I think maybe where the simple task comes is the passion from them as individuals coming forward. Initially, we put information out there how we were looking for volunteers for the project, and we had quite a lot of people signing up. We had maybe 70 people sign up to volunteer, and we've now got 50 on the books.
Wow.
And we work with them across the different projects, and primarily at the moment we're doing conservation and clean-up days, as you've seen today. This is our third day. We will continue now because it's been so popular and really useful project, where we're cleaning back the vegetation and the river. We're going to continue that until the early in 2018 with Thames 21 leading on and supporting it.
Wow, so it's quite a big task then, but ultimately you can see why they'd love to get involved, because they're from the community and it's for the community, it's their area they're helping, isn't it?
Absolutely, they can see how much it's going to benefit. I mean, on the first day when we started the cleanups, we thought, oh gosh, is it like a thankless task, because we actually got in there, fingernails broken, you know, a few grazes.
Not the fingernails, oh fingernails. God.
But at the end of it, you know, we were here for about 7 to 8 hours on the first day. You could see the difference. The stream started flowing. When we got here, it was stagnant. And that's what's continued the growth of the volunteers coming along here on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, because you can physically see the difference, it moving along.
Absolutely. Oh. And so we decided to expand it. Originally, it was just for 4 weeks, but now we're expanding it to the new year next year, because I think it's going to be very popular and very useful. Because the idea for the project is to regenerate the whole park. And the work the volunteers are doing now is really kick-starting that, before we even got the money. You know, we submit the bid in February, and hopefully, fingers crossed, the money will come our way and it will only enhance their work.
And if you're interested in activities such as bat walks, Friends of Headstone Manor Recreation Ground put on a wide range of events. So head over to fohmrg.org for more information.
Yeah.
So you're locally from Harrow originally, were you?
Yeah, I grew up in Harrow, so I'm, lived here all my life, pretty much. So it's quite nice to see it come back here and kind of see how... I love that this is getting turned into a wedding venue.
Did you know that using your washing machine or even flushing your toilet could have a direct impact on streams and rivers? This is all down to something called misconnections, which I'd never heard of before. So I caught up with Tony Donetti to find out more. Tony, you actually work for Harrow Council. You're an infrastructure team leader.
Yeah, that's right. I manage a small team of people with responsibilities for looking after various key elements of Harrow's infrastructure. This includes flood storage areas within parks and open spaces. We manage over 80 kilometres of designated ordinary watercourse, maintaining the highway drainage infrastructure. That includes over 20,000 curbside gullies. I look after highway adoption process for new developments, and we're also the lead local flood authority for the area. In broad terms, this involves managing and reducing flood risk.
So there's a lot of redevelopment taking place in the wider area throughout Harrow. What kind of impact would that have to the park?
Okay, well, indeed, like most of outer London, there's been significant changes in terms of population growth and increased intensity in building development, which has inevitably placed increased demands on infrastructure and resources. So it's therefore more important than ever to protect our green spaces and make best use of them to ensure they provide maximum benefit for the people and the environment. And I believe that the works that we've lined up here at Headstone Manor will meet those objectives.
So in terms of implementing all of this, what are misconnections and how do they actually impact some of the work taking place at Headstone Manor?
Okay, well, misconnections are unfortunately are a common problem that's encountered throughout London especially, and misconnections are a result of essentially foul water being piped into drainage which should only be taking rainwater. This often occurs when people have building works done and the builder either intentionally or unintentionally will connect to the nearest available pipe, and so we end up with foul water from toilets, washing machines, sinks, etc., going into the watercourses and contaminates the rivers with obviously disastrous effects on wildlife and general water quality.
So it's something that can be quite a serious problem then.
It is a serious problem, and there's lots of people putting a lot of time and effort into trying to resolve it. It requires a multi-party approach to it, and this is what we're doing. We're working in collaboration with Thames Water and Thames 21 and the Environment Agency to see what can be done. But it's also reliant upon members of the public. We need to make members of the public more aware of the consequences of misconnections and how to avoid it.
You're obviously very passionate about protecting the environment here and thinking ahead to the future. So if someone was to come back here in 2020, what would be different about it?
In 2020, hopefully the works that we're currently planned will be finished, and we'll have a fantastic facility for people, for local community and those from further afield to come and visit and enjoy. They'll be able to exercise, to relax, to come to the cafe here to eat, to see the museum, to learn about Harrow's local history, visit the historic Manor Museum. The environment will be vastly improved. We'll have a cleaner watercourse running through it. We'll have increased biodiversity. We'll be providing additional flood protection via the silt beds and the reed beds and the decolvated watercourses, and hopefully it will be a vibrant and I'm sure well used park and much loved too.
So, do you fancy yourself as a bit of a citizen scientist? Well, that's exactly what Paul Busby and Simon Braidman are. Many of the volunteers at Headstone Manor are passionate about nature and play a key role in capturing very important data. Here's what Paul and Simon had to say about their experiences.
My name is Simon Braidman, volunteering with Harrow Nature Conservation Forum. I also work as part of the Riverfly Monitoring Initiative as a volunteer for them as well, so I do both. We get a real benefit from it. You get a sense of ownership when you work as a volunteer on a scheme, any kind of scheme. And you get to meet lots of people, and often you get to meet and work in really nice places as well. What we do, we work in the countryside, so you get to see wildlife and you get to chat to people, and you feel really relaxed at the end of it. I love this stretch of the stream because it's beautiful. It's covered in trees and shrubs. It's nice and sheltered, and if you look in the, as you looked in the water this morning, lots of wildlife in the water. It's great.
Without the volunteers across the river in the 12 locations, we wouldn't have got all the data that we needed. So we have the capability to look at our local patch, whilst perhaps the Environment Agency can only look at it piecemeal. So we make a difference as volunteers.
Of course, you don't need to be a citizen scientist to volunteer at Headstone Manor. Maybe you appreciate a nice walk in the park, or would like to join the local football or cricket club.
These volunteers have found friendships and a sense of purpose through helping out at the park. Proof that there really is something here for everyone.
I was riding my bike in a park, and I was riding too fast, apparently. The park warden, who's a volunteer park warden, stopped me, said, "You can't ride in this park that fast." But he didn't do it in an aggressive way. He did it in such a brilliant way, calm way, and we started talking. We built up a great friendship. His name is Eugene Callan and Dana Kenton Rec, and he volunteered. He's been a volunteer park warden for 17 years full time. Doesn't take a penny. Looks after the park. Everyone loves him in the park. It's a brilliant place to be. So I joined his group and, you know, help him out.
I like coming here to play tennis.
I've lived here, around here for 25 years, and always came to the park and saw the ducks with my son and what have you, and love it here. And I think it should really be the best park in the borough.
We live very close by, so this would be a perfect spot for us to be able to come to quite regularly.
I guess we have a vested interest, I guess, in the future in terms of bringing any, if we have a family, bringing our family here. And I guess it's important that it's actually maintained, considering this, how old the area is and the site is.
We've played cricket Saturdays and Sundays, and we have a midweek side, and Headstone Manor Youth Football Club use the facilities in the non-cricket season. We have produced players that have played for England. Mark Rambakash was here from the age of 9. Keith Dutch played for Middlesex and Somerset when the county cricket, and so there's been a few people who have gone on and done good things from the cricket side of the business. But it's a very friendly club. Everybody gets on. We've got all sorts of races, religions and what have you. Doesn't mean a bloody thing in this place. Not a thing. Everybody's grown up together. I say, if you come through the Colts and you're playing senior cricket, well, you've started at about 9 like Rams did, and you just work your way through, and in senior cricket, onward and upward. So it is a nice place.
Whether you're a resident of Harrow or live in the surrounding areas, Headstone Manor and its surrounding park are there for you to enjoy. So why not help to make it a place to be enjoyed for years to come? To find out how you can get involved, visit harrowmuseum.org.uk for more information about their volunteer open days. You can also follow them on Twitter for updates at Headstone Manor 1, and on Facebook by searching for Headstone Manor and Harrow Museum. Thanks for listening.